United.
Hello, and thanks for listening to TKF United, Stadium Talk That Rocks. This is the second installment of this series, and today we're going to focus on San Diego State West. This whole series is supposed to be a look at the debate between Soccer City SD and the San Diego State West initiatives. And last time we went to the Soccer City launch party, which was a blast, and I got to meet a bunch of really cool people. But this week we got to talk to James Cruz. James is a staunch SDSU West supporter. He's a graduate of San Diego State University. And he actually lives in Yuma right now, but he also owns a home here in San Diego. He's very knowledgeable and very passionate about this issue. You might know him from Twitter. His Twitter handle is K5James. He gets into it with people. And this was a really cool conversation because while him and I and Dallas and a few other people have, you know, sparred with him on Twitter on a few things, just talking to him, you know, with me and Travis, I thought it elevated the conversation a lot. It felt like three people that were just talking about issues that really mattered. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. The sound, if you noticed on our last Kept Faith episode with Dustin, there's like an echo to it. We recorded this right after that, so there is an echo to it. We'll try to fix that issue moving forward, but he called in from Yuma and I think it went well. Like, we talked about a lot of things that were important to the conversation. So this is James Cruz, and check it out all summer. We're going to be doing more stuff like this. There's going to be some more Soccer City events coming up, mainly around the World Cup, so we might do some more stuff with that. But we want to keep talking to San Diego State West supporters and check out other sides of the issue, like environmentalists. Dallas is trying to get some politicians on to talk about it from their perspective, and yeah, we want to get all sides. So if you have any suggestions, email us at thekeptfaith@gmail.com or tweet at us, #TKFUnited. But this is our conversation with James Cruz at K5James on Twitter. Enjoy.
If you know, you know. If you know, you know.
How you doing, James?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Doing good, doing good. So the stadium debate is off and running. Last episode of this series, we were down at the Soccer City event, the Soccer City relaunch down at Liberty Station. I just wanted to talk to an SDSU supporter like yourself about, you know, that the other side of the discussion. I mean, it doesn't seem like you guys are out in front yet, quite as yet so far, but what do you feel about like the movement, the San Diego State West movement?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Like you said, we don't really have a lot of outlets to get our voices out there because we don't have the World Cup going on for football right now, so
right.
We're not throwing parties or things of that nature. As we get closer to football season, I imagine we'll have some stuff going on, tailgates and things of that nature. But basically, the thing I wanted to get out is it seems like everybody kind of has this picture painted of San Diego State West supporters. But, you know, they're old developers, old guys that just want to kind of put a monkey wrench into the Soccer City train. And that's really not the case. I used to be a season ticket holder for the Padres, the Chargers, and the Aztecs. And then I kind of got disillusioned with the Padres and put more money towards San Diego State, got dropped those season tickets. And then with all the Spanos nonsense in about 2015 or so, I completely dropped my Chargers ticket as well. And I just kind of jumped fully in, feet first, into supporting San Diego State. And as I was doing that, I kind of got friendly with some guys that played there, former players from back when I went to school, and then from even beyond that, like Bill Hammett and Bill Hammett Jr., two big time. They're the guys that run AFL, and they're big time supporters of San Diego State Athletics.
Right.
And basically, as I got close to them, I met some other guys who were big donors, and they would kind of feed me information, you know, kind of somewhat inside stuff. It just made me, you know, oh, cool, I get a kind of closer look inside the program. And one of the things was, like, in late 2016, they started talking about the renderings that the football program was showing, like recruits and talking about and showing to the big donors, saying, you know, there's this football stadium plan coming down the pipeline. Keep an eye out for it. It's being worked on behind the scenes. Because at that point, the Chargers had basically said that even if they stay here, they're not staying in Mission Valley for sure. They want to be downtown. Downtown is it. So San Diego State, as far as I know and what I was told, started making plans for Mission Valley. But from what I understand, their initial plan was to wait for an RFP and then submit the RFP. But in the meantime, they were working with some group on a stadium thing. I never got to see any of the renderings or anything like that, so I don't know for sure if it's the same ones that Soccer City put out. But I was stoked, and they started talking about this, like, as details of the deal started leaking out in the media, talking about, you know, they were going to split the stadium cost, Soccer City was going to turn over the stadium to San Diego State in 5 years, and it was basically going to be San Diego State Stadium, and they were going to give Soccer City a good deal, like Soccer City wouldn't have to pay for the lease or whatever to have their games. They needed to keep all of their funds or whatever. That's the way it was sold to us leading up to the actual initiative being released. So I was like a big supporter. A lot of Aztec fans were like, oh, you know, they were talking about the 33,000 seat stadium. A lot of Aztec fans felt that was too small. I agreed it was too small, but it wasn't so small that it's a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the more intimate setting, and my ideal is about 40,000 seats. I think that would be perfect. So we were. I was stoked. I was excited. I was defending, you know, the smaller stadium against the other Aztec supporters that kind of wanted 50,000 and plus, you know, huge stadium like old school. And it was all good. Everything was going great. We were all stoked for it. I was on board with what was going to go on. And then they dropped the initiative. And, you know, I'm not a lawyer or anything, but I've worked a little bit with that kind of stuff, and I read the initiative, and I asked the lawyer friends about it, and it wasn't matching up with all the stuff that they were telling us. But, yeah, we're going to split the cost of the stadium, and it's going to be yours in 5 years, but, like, all of the things that you want out of a stadium, all the revenue sources, they got to keep.
Sorry, is this the initiative that was designed to get the vote on the ballot early?
The Soccer City initiative that they were going to try to get adopted by the city council.
Right. Okay, just so everybody's clear. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Sorry about that.
There's so many initiatives. It's just tough.
Right. Yeah. Feel free to cut me off.
No. This is great. This is what I wanted to get. So.
Yeah. So the initiative dropped, and I was like, "Whoa, wait a second. This isn't what I was hearing from my buddy, who was, you know, in touch supposedly with what was going on behind the scenes." Because everything that he had been talking to me about was stadium. Like, nothing was about the actual site around the stadium. And I just assumed that they were going to come up with some kind of deal where, you know, San Diego State would buy the property and they would get the development rights and they would make all their money developing it, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's what had been pitched many times before by JMI back in, like, 2008 or something like that. And another group, like, before that, had talked about that in case the Chargers left, San Diego State would take over that whole area. So that's what I assumed was going to happen outside of it. But when the initiative dropped, it was not that at all. And it turned out that, you know, they're leasing or buying the whole thing and kind of cutting San Diego State out. And, yeah, they came back later after the mayor negotiated and said, hey, we're going to offer to sell you this 35 acres, but it's at a, you know, they're getting this land for super cheap comparatively to what it could be worth, mm-hmm. fully developed. So they're saying, yeah, we'll give you that 35 acres, but we're going to sell it to you at a fully developed price. And to me, that doesn't work. San Diego State, you know, they're a nonprofit technically, you know, so they've got to cut corners where they can, and then it's not the California state system. Isn't the most fully funded system. They do well, but that's astronomical. The prices they were talking about, I think it's like something like $13 million an acre or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's crazy prices.
So, I mean, a lot of people, where do you think the relationship really, it sounds like there was something that happened behind the scenes. Do you think there was a, can you see a point where it unfolded? It seems like there might be some reporting coming out later about how that actually went down.
I hope so, because to be honest, if it was something like San Diego State was fully on board, they knew what was going to happen, and then they changed their mind at the last minute, I'm going to be upset with whoever was in charge of San Diego State negotiating that part of the deal, because what were they doing coming up to an agreement like that, which obviously wasn't putting San Diego State in the best position. So I hope, if there is any information about something like that, I hope it does come to light, because I would like to know so I could hold people's feet to the fire as best I can for that. You know, not some big mover and shaker or anything, but I do like to, as you guys know, I like to bring my voice there.
Yeah, if you follow him on Twitter, he does hold people to the fire. I think that's
accurate statement.
Yeah, but I mean, so if you look at the two plans now, besides the ins and outs of them, it does seem like there's this dichotomy between two different types of sports fans. I'm sure you have, I mean, you're more into college football and football in general, I would say, probably. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm more into football. I've got like a peripheral knowledge of soccer. All my friends are huge Mexican national fans. Mm-hmm. So I watch soccer with them just because they want to watch it, and they're hanging out, and I root against Mexico and stuff like that, you know, to mess with them. I'm not a huge soccer guy. I'll occasionally watch it, and I have no problem with it. Like, I was excited about MLS coming here. That sounded like a good thing, but not at the cost of kind of hurting San Diego State.
Yeah.
To me, as Soccer City guys have said more often than many times, that the two projects are fairly similar. So if you take them at their word, okay, they're fairly similar, who do you think should profit more from public land? Do you think public land should help out another public entity, or should it help out these private investors? If both things are equal, let's take everybody at face value, and both things are equal, everybody's going to get everything they want. Like, who should benefit from that? Another public entity or private investors? When you boil it down, that's my take on it for somebody who doesn't want to dive into the deep waters of the differences of the initiative.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you say to somebody who would say that the university is masking itself as this project is masking itself as this thing that's about education and helping the university, but it's really developers just like Soccer City. I mean, that's a common thing you hear. We've heard it. I've heard it at the party last week. It's like, this thing is the SDSUS and with the whole lawsuit that's up. I mean, that's a whole other thing that's, I guess, dissolved.
Yeah, here's the thing is, SDSU legally could not put their own initiative out. So they were in a bind. They were kind of screwed, really.
Right. So you called it the friend. It's usually called the Friends of San Diego State West. That's what we're talking about, right?
I'm talking about San Diego State School.
Right.
Yeah. They were legally not allowed to put out an initiative to kind of come back. So once the negotiations broke down, if they were whatever the extent the negotiations were with Soccer City, once they broke down, SDSU was kind of screwed because they can't fight back, really. These people that saying, you know, friends of SDSU West are friends of SDSU, SDSU West is a bunch of developers. There are developers there, yes. But I've posted it several times. If you look at the donor list for friends of SDSU, like 9 out of 10 of the top guys that have donated like over $500,000 each or $1 million+ each, they're all San Diego State alums. They've given massive amounts of money to San Diego State before. It's not like these are just some developers that don't care about San Diego State that are just, we're going to do this just to support Soccer City. These are guys that legitimately care about the university. Are there people that are probably in that Friends of SDSU group that are strictly developers and they're just doing it to try to monkey wrench in Soccer City? I'd imagine so. I mean, there's bad apples in every group. You can't be 100%. Nobody is 100%. Philanthropic, you know. So
I was curious.
I just don't like this painting of the entire group as they're these cottage developers that are trying to put a stop to things.
I'm curious, and I don't know, why can't SDSU put a proposal together? Legal, is it a law? Is it like a state or federal law?
Yeah, it's federal law. As a nonprofit entity, as a 501c entity, they are not allowed to take like a political position.
So it's like a state organization.
What's interesting to me, and maybe this is a bigger picture we don't need to get into, but how land use becomes political. I don't know. It seems like what's logical, but maybe not.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, to be honest, this initiative, this entire initiative and this approach that Soccer City is using to get this land, it's only been done like once before, I believe. It's a fairly recent California Supreme Court decision, I think it's like 2014, August of 2014, that allowed citizens' initiatives to determine what happens with land going around CECA and the California Environmental Law.
Huh.
It's a fairly new practice. So this is kind of something that's not done very often. Like, I know for sure of only one, the actual Supreme Court case that made it legal for citizens' initiatives to determine what happens with land and to go around CEQA.
But it feels like San Diego State could just go to the city with a proposal saying, we are a nonprofit, you know, educational organization, and we have a proposal on what the city could do with this land without would that be considered political?
They can do that if the city is allowed, but they can't do it right now because that land is subject to citizens' initiative.
Got it.
It's such a valuable piece of land. I mean, it's
right.
They have to vote on it.
That seems so unfair to nonprofit organizations that are interested in land use.
It's unfair if somebody's doing this citizens initiative thing, but if it went to an RFP, then nonprofits are actually favored. According to the San Diego City Charter, there's like a specific order of people they're supposed to offer up public land to once they decide that they have no use for the land, like they can't do anything themselves with it.
Or it's costing them $18 million a year just to let it sit there. Yeah.
Exactly. So obviously that land, they don't want to do anything with it themselves. They want to get rid of it. There's a list of people they're supposed to offer that land to before it goes to the public. So I think first is like low-income housing groups of that nature, and then second would be other public entities, which would be San Diego State. So San Diego State, if it went to an RFP, San Diego State would most likely submit a proposal, probably similar to that San Diego State Mission Valley proposal, that third plan that they put out a couple months ago, saying what they would do if SDSUS passes, basically, if they're saying what they would do with that land if they were able to get a hold of it. From what I understand, that's what San Diego State was planning to do if the Chargers left that land. They were going to submit, they assumed it was going to go to an RFP and they were going to submit a plan. And that's kind of why, everybody, why didn't San Diego State have a plan? What's going on? Like, I think their plan was to submit a plan in the RFP process, which, where it was just everybody submits their offers and, they go through their list of who gets to try to get that land first. The city gets to decide whichever offer is best for the city, kind of thing. It's like a bidding process.
So one of the narratives that has emerged as far as people attaching to SDSU West, or, the Friends of SDSU, is that the larger plan is basically to just beat Soccer City, have the stadium stay as is, and allow the program to grow into possibly a power conference and have more leverage down the line. I mean, do you think I know that's not, you don't like that. I mean, that's something that's been talked about. Like, if we can just push this back, kick it down the line, then San Diego State gets to play in the same place. They still have a place to play, and the FS investor group will just lose its, juice, essentially. They won't want to keep doing this. They'll lose land and everything will fall apart. It's like that's something that's been talked about.
Grown up.
The, the San Diego State has more time than Soccer City. What would you say to that?
San Diego State definitely has more time.
Yeah.
The issue with that is, and why I don't agree with that, a stadium, a college football stadium, should be a revenue producer for the school. Once it's paid for, that's like, you know, that should be a revenue producer. Boise State, I think, last I heard, they make like $1.5 or $2 million every home game from their stadium. And that's why they have that nice, brand-new athletic facility and stuff like that. And Boise State averages less fans than San Diego State does.
Right.
But what it is, it's a smaller stadium. They can charge more for tickets. They control all the revenue for everything in the stadium. So a stadium should be a revenue producer. And right now, for San Diego State at Qualcomm, at best, it's revenue neutral. And they may make a few hundred thousand.
In a good year, basically. Yeah,
yeah, but they don't get, like, concessions and all that stuff.
Well, if they're just having a good year.
They can't sell boxes.
Right.
Right.
They don't get money from alcohol sales, which is concessions, so that's a big deal. And they can't charge PSLs and stuff like that. To me, San Diego State does not want that stadium sitting there. Like, they would rather get rid of it, too, so they can build a smaller stadium, because Colorado State just got almost $40 million for naming rights for their stadium. I mean, in Fort Collins, Colorado, you don't think San Diego State could get something near that or more than that for naming rights for a San Diego State stadium in San Diego? And that's just one revenue stream that Soccer City's initiative cut San Diego State out of. So for those that are saying San Diego State is happy playing at Qualcomm, no, they're not. I mean, they've had issues playing at Qualcomm forever, and that's kind of what got me into it more and got me to drop my Charger season tickets, as I saw the way they were treating San Diego State. San Diego State wanted to put a—I don't know if you guys remember this—but San Diego State wanted to put a brand new video board at Qualcomm, and they approached the Chargers, approached the city, and said, "Hey, let's go have on a video board to at least somewhat improve the game day experience here." And the Chargers said no, and then of course the city said no because they're going to do what the Chargers want to say.
Right.
So the Chargers have always treated everybody. That's why the Padres left in the early 2000s. Everybody got tired of being a tenant, basically, to Dean Spanos. I don't want that situation again. And this is a better situation because Dean Spanos isn't involved, but it's still not a good situation for San Diego State football to be playing at Qualcomm. I think if they both fail, I think they'll be able to come to an agreement pretty quickly for building a stadium there, and then they'll figure out the rest, you know, over time. I'm sure there's going to be lawsuits.
There's going to be lawsuits. There's just going to be.
There's going to be lawsuits. If FCS West is going to win, there's going to be lawsuits. If they both lose, I'm sure there's going to be lawsuits.
Right. So for this summer, I mean, we talked about this a little bit. I think maybe it was before we started, but like this summer. Like, Soccer City is going to have the World Cup. They have events all month, you know, basically over the next 2 months. Not that you're in charge of this or anything, but like, do you think the pitch from San Diego State University or the Friends of San Diego State will be centered more around like the beginning of the season? And will that involve an element of saying like, you know, we could join a power conference? Is that something that is going to be marketed, I don't know.
I don't know about that. Because look, joining a power conference, there's so many external variables that you can't say if we do this, we will be a power conference school.
Well, people have found like the equivalency of like Soccer City saying we can get an MLS team, even though they haven't guaranteed that. Right.
No
guarantee. I mean, it feels like there's maybe it's not fair, but it's been attached to San Diego State West that like they're trying to say things or they're hinting that they could join a bigger conference than they're at because, you know, because this is getting so ugly, people are taking shots at the Mountain West, et cetera.
Yeah.
And even another a similar one like that would be a couple of weeks ago, or I guess it was a month ago or so, where a rendering came out and we all had to comment on it because it's a rendering in this town, but you know, no, but there was like the the idea that this could be transformed into an NFL stadium, and everybody got all freaked out, like, oh, the NFL, if we do, you know, if maybe that's not fair to attach to SDSU West, but things like that emerging, like, after the World Cup, do you think that'll be the timeline?
I don't know. Definitely the timeline will probably be closer towards football season. Everybody gets excited for that, and then the beginning of basketball season, which I believe is before the election. I'm not positive on that.
It's right. Right around, like, they start.
Right around the same time. I'm sure there will be a lot more, like, rallies and stuff like that. But as far as I lost my train of thought.
Sorry, I kind of asked you two questions there.
You were talking about the Power Five thing. Obviously, they have more control over getting into the MLS, getting an MLS franchise, because of everybody's, you know, they've got that Juan Carlos Rodriguez, who's a big shot maker for soccer in the United States because of Univision.
The difference is, I mean, the MLS, it would be such a good idea for the MLS to be in San Diego. For San Diego State to join a power conference, they'd have to convince a set of power conference schools, essentially, right? I mean, they'd have to.
What I was trying to get at before I lost my train of thought, I don't know if Soccer City, if SDSU West, if they build it all out and build all the research and build a stadium, I don't know. I can't tell you that will get them into a power conference. What I can tell you for sure is if Soccer City passes and San Diego State goes in with Soccer City on building a stadium at 33,000 feet stadium, that will not be enough for a power conference. As silly as it sounds, the difference between 33,000 and 40,000 seats is a big deal. And then having access to all those revenues, which will allow them to improve the football program under SDSU West, not having access to those revenues under Soccer City will severely hamper their ability to continue to improve the football program to a level where it'll be Power Five. I mean, I already feel it's Power Five worthy now, but for those that don't feel it's Power Five worthy. And then also not building the big research park that they intend to build. That's one of the biggest things for, let's say, the Pac-12, which they have, very low odds of getting into. But for the Pac-12, they want to see, are you a big research school? Are you pumping out a lot of research? Are you bringing in a lot of research dollars? That's the kind of thing they want to see, and that's not going to happen under Soccer City. So I can tell you for sure, I'm not for sure, but to the best of my knowledge, if Soccer City passes, you can pretty much say goodbye to the Power Five chances of San Diego State.
Yeah, well, I've always heard it's just going to be hard. It's always been hard for San Diego State to join whatever equivalent that was, throughout its whole history, because teams just don't want to recruit against San Diego State because people want to go to San Diego. I think that's
exactly. It's a plus and a minus. The nice thing about, for say, like a conference like the Big 12, is it gives their schools a game in San Diego every year, every other year, or every couple years, whatever the rotation is for the schedule. It gives them a free trip to San Diego where they can recruit, show off their brand. That's why the Holiday Bowl has always been so popular.
Right.
And, it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, but some schools don't want to compete against San Diego State, but I think that's lesser of a thing than it used to be. But it would be also beneficial for a conference that's not in California to have a direct pipeline to California.
Yeah.
But that's why, to be honest, I feel the better chances are in the Big 12, but who knows? The Big 12 will go as the way Texas decides. So it could be, the Big 12 could be really strong in like 6 years, or it could be getting ready to fall apart. So who knows?
Yeah.
There's no predicting the future as far as that. That's why I hesitate to say, oh, if they do this, they'll be in a Power Five conference.
Okay. I guess my biggest question is, and maybe this has been covered a little bit already, but I guess my biggest question is, like, how big does a university have to be? It's already an impacted campus. There's so many people applying and not very many people getting in. Like, at a certain point, does it need to go into Mission Valley? That's always been my question. Like, can they build somewhere up there? I don't know.
I don't know when the last time you went to the campus. They've done a lot of building in the last. Like,
I know.
10 years.
Well, I went there for 3 years, and like they were always building something. They were doing the subway at the time, but it just seems like there's something unique about San Diego State University where it is always building. And I wonder. I've heard people say this before. Like it's like, what is enough at a certain point?
That's like a more abstract question.
It is. About, it like, is. It's not fair to ask. But like
in America and things like that.
Yeah.
But I know like UCSD was given 1,000 acres of land back in the 60s when they started UCSD. San Diego State 238 acres or something like that. You know, they're not trying to get another 500 acres or something like that. I think they want around 40 or 50 acres or something like that to expand the campus. I don't know what the number is for too big, but obviously it's a desirable school. It's the most applied to school in the country.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I guess what I meant more was about like it's already is it the biggest school like that? I mean, how many people go there now? Is it?
I think it's about 40,000.
I think right now it's like 40,000. I think the biggest school is Central Florida.
Right.
And I don't know the last time I checked, but I think it's like 50,000 or something like that.
But yeah, I've heard people say like, you know, we need to build this so we can make room for more people. And like, how many more people do you need at a university? That's more about what I was asking, not necessarily size.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I think the California State system wants San Diego State to have like another 20,000 students eventually.
Okay.
Not in the next 5 years or whatever, but you know, I think I don't have the master plan in front of me, but unpredictable future, they want eventually they want to have like another 20,000 students.
Well, that sounds amazing. That's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, more people getting educated. That's great. But you know, that's
yeah. The thing about and that's another thing is you want to talk about like the money, the revenue differences. Like there's been studies and they talk about for every dollar a municipality puts into higher education. Directly, just from like the students, the teachers, people that work at the place, a municipality gets like $10 back for every dollar they spend. So it's a really good investment for a community to spend on a college. And really, they're not going to really spend on building SDSU West, just sell the land to them. Obviously, everybody talks about the fair market value price, and I'm sure. Who knows what the price the city council will determine as fair market value? San Diego State said have come out and said that they are okay with the price that the mayor determined. But I don't know if you know, but San Diego State owns some land at Adobe Falls area, and they've been trying to build there. But they've been, you know, same as with the all over San Diego building stuff is very difficult.
Yeah.
And I imagine they might do a land swap kind of thing where they give that land to the city in exchange for some of the land at the Qualcomm site. So that's why I think they're hesitant to say, yeah, we will pay that exact price for all that land, you know, because there's all kinds of variables. And plus, as they said, they can't negotiate with the city because San Diego State West is just saying, sell this land to San Diego State. The initiative says, sell this property to San Diego State or, you know, San Diego State's fundraising arm. And it's up to San Diego State to negotiate that price with the city council. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard for San Diego State West to come out and say, yeah, we're going to pay this and this and this. They're not San Diego State. How can they speak to San Diego State?
Right.
Well, we could keep going, but we gotta get out of here. Well, thanks for coming on, James.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We want to keep this discussion going, and I'm glad we got somebody from the other side. We're gonna be going to some Soccer City events just because it's their time, I guess. But
yeah.
But what we really do with this series, we want to like talk to all sides, even talk to people that you know don't want anything built there for sports. So we're going to get all sides of it. There are those people. So.
The sides on Lake San Diego, where we have a big ski resort right there.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for coming on, man. And we'll check in with you later this summer, hopefully. So.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you for giving me the outlet at the time.
Yeah, man. You got to start a podcast. You got to get the, what are you guys doing? No, <just kidding. laughs> Yeah.
So what am I going to do out here in Yuma?
I know. Yes. Well, stay cool out there, man. We'll see you on Twitter. So.
Okay, man. I'll try not to hold your guys' feet to the fire so hard now.
That's good. You know. All right, man. All right, we'll guys, see thank you. Bye.
TKF United.